We're going to be sharing some thoughts on something that I believe is, besides the subject of faith, I believe this is probably one of the most important areas that we can continue to grow in, and it's being led by the Spirit of God, knowing Him, knowing the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our friend. He's been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And being led by Him, you know, I always say this, this is like natural growth. You know, you didn't just grow up overnight, and you're not going to grow overnight even in the things of the Spirit. It's something that has to be developed, and you have to keep looking to Him. You know, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We speak to Him. We talk to Him. He's our helper. And just like anybody that would be called alongside to help you, you do what? You speak to them. You converse with them. And you look to them for help. He's our helper. So we're going to spend a few moments, and I think the more we talk about Him, you become more sensitive to Him. You know, the scripture talks about praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. And so this is a subject for me. You know, I say it maybe this way, that the more sensitive you become in this area, you will miss it less and less and less till you get to the place that walking in God and walking as a Christian will be exciting, because you'll realize that you will never miss it. And we can get to the place where we will know exactly what God's will is for us, to make the right choice in every decision that we have to make. Now, does that mean that, you know, we will never miss it? I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that as we grow spiritually, we can reach a place where we will never miss it. And I'm on that quest, as I know many of you are, where when I have to make a decision, I look on the inside instead of leaning to my own understanding. That's what Proverbs 3 says. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What does it also continue? It says, in all thy ways, not just some, in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So that means that when He's directing my path and I yield and I recognize it's Him, then I won't miss it. And so that's the exciting part to me, that, you know, with all of the things that are going on in this world today and all of the craziness and the pressures and the anxieties that are going on in people's life, we have a hope. We have hope that we can walk through this life with peace and be directed by Him. So, and not miss it. So it just takes work, takes effort, and we may miss it along the way, but you know, if we look to Him and we talk to Him, talk to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us. That's what he's there for. So let's jump in this evening. I want to start with looking at the divine personality of the Holy Spirit. And let's just look briefly at John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18 in the Amplified Classic. And, you know, I think it's good to look at what the Bible says of who He really is, who He is that's in us. And this is Jesus speaking while He was in His earthly ministry. And John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor." That's somebody who's praying on my behalf. "Advocate, strengthener, and standby." Wow. And then it says, "that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you." So you could say the church of the Lord Jesus, is not comfortless. We are not desolate. We're not helpless. We have a helper. We have somebody who is an intercessor on our behalf. He intercedes and pleads the perfect will of God for us on our behalf. And so we, in John, I'm sorry, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, in the King James Version, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In verse 16, "The Spirit itself," or you could say himself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So God does not lead us through fear. He does not lead us through anxiety or pressure or frustration. He leads us, and we're not driven by the Spirit of God. He won't make you do anything. He leads you. He nudges you. He may prompt you to do something, but he doesn't force you. He doesn't intimidate us to make a choice. And so can we know, that's the question, can we know the leading of the Spirit of God in our spirit? Can we know that? You know, when he said, "You know me," and he said back in John, we can go back there, in John verse 14 and 17 in the Amplified Classic, it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him, but you know him and recognize him." Why? "For he lives in you." So a lot of people are so mind conscious, they're so body conscious, that they don't even recognize the inner man, the spirit. I have said this in past, that, you know, a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars, you could probably say billions, are spent on the development of our bodies. You know, people go to the gym, they try to eat right, they buy vitamins. So a lot of money is spent to develop the body. A lot of money is spent to develop the mind. Billions of dollars is spent on enrichment where our soul is concerned. How much time and effort and money is being spent to develop your spirit, to become more sensitive to him? And of course, we know that the process is 2 Corinthians 5:17. We conduct our lives, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to have to develop this inner knowing him by faith. And the more we operate in faith, the more we yield to him, the more we will know him. You have to make a choice. You have to believe what the Bible says, and we're not led by our feelings. We're not led by our intellect. God doesn't lead us by our intellect. He leads us in our spirit and through our spirit. So the inward witness, the witness of the Holy Spirit, you could say, is a spiritual sense. It's a perception, or it's an impression. It's an awareness. It's an inward intuition or an inner knowing that every Christian has. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. He's taken up residence in every person who was called on Jesus to come into their heart. He has come in by his Spirit. So the inward witness will never contradict the Word of God. So the inward witness is, you may not even know why you're doing something, but you know that, in other words, you don't always know how or why you know something, but what you know is as real on the inside of you in your spirit as if someone had spoken to you in your natural hearing. So you just know inside. That inner knowing is the Holy Spirit doing what? Revealing, bearing witness to your spirit, to your inner man. And so he bears witness with our own spirit to do what? To give us wisdom, to give us guidance, comfort, whatever we need in that particular moment. So we are led. He bears witness with our spirit. And let's go and look at Romans chapter 8 again, verse 16 in the King James. And it says, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the word beareth witness is that word, and in the King James actually means to bear joint witness or to co-witness. So when it says he beareth witness, it means with, and that's what it says, with our spirit. Let me read this from some other, well, they can put this up. This is the Weymouth translation of Romans 8, 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our spirits to the fact that we are children of God. So he bears witness along with our spirits to confirm or to let us know that we are the children of God. And the Amplified Classic says something along the same line at Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. So how do we identify? You know, this is the question. So he's bearing witness with us, that with our spirit, that we're the children of God, but how do we identify that? That's the question. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. Want to look at this in the King James Version. Then we'll look at a few more scriptures. So when we have choices to make, you may have, just like any of us do, we have choices to make in the ministry. Any leader or any person who's in a lead position, you could be a parent. You're in a lead position. You have to make choices with things that you have to do. Could be with your spouse. It could be with as a family. Could be with your children. It could be you as an individual, as a single parent. You have to make some choices. And so you can make a choice where you never miss it. And so we want to begin to share, how do you identify that? How do you know that it's him? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. I think these are good. It's always good to go back to the Bible because we have the answers right in the book. It tells us these are things that they experienced. They were written for our help, for our admonition, for our guidance. And so, looking at Luke chapter 1, and we can see here, let me just get over here. I want to look at the context of this. In verse 3, it says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." So when you look at this, the writer is writing, it says, "Where it seemed good to him." It seemed on the inside, it seemed good to write this letter. Now, does it say that the Holy Ghost spoke to him? No, it says all of the scriptures were written by inspiration. Well, we know that inspiration came from the Holy Ghost, but it seemed good to write this letter. So was that the Holy Ghost? Yes, he was bearing witness with their spirit to do something. And so here, we are led by the Spirit of God, not by a prophet or prophecy. We are led by the inward witness. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter inside of us. And the same thing, if we've been given a prophecy, does it bear witness? Does it seem good? Is there an inner knowing that this is right? Otherwise, put it on the shelf. Let's look at Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 22. I want to read verses 22. Then we'll go to verse 25, and then verse 28. This is Acts chapter 15 and verse 22, and then we'll go to verse 25 and then 28. So verse 22, it says, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." So what does it say? It pleased them. Or you could say, it seemed good. Now look at verse 25. So again, remember what it said back here. It said, it pleased them to send chosen men among their own company. Now look at what verse 25, it makes it a little clearer. So this said, please them. Now look what verse 25 says. "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." So it seemed good to them. Right? Now let's look at verse 28, same chapter. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. And so it's important that we recognize, and I'd say, how do we recognize this inner witness? Something just seems good to do. It seems right. There's a peace in your spirit. Let's look at, in that same chapter, let's look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 34. It says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to do what? To abide there. It pleased Silas. Now look at that same verse in the New King James Version. Says it just a little different. In verse 34 in the New King, it says, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. So when something pleases us, you could say it this the way they said it in the old English language, but it seemed good to do it. So this is a way to recognize the leading of the Holy Ghost. When Brother Hagin was alive, up to that point, Jesus had appeared to him seven times to give him instructions, to teach him about certain things. And he said the last time he appeared to him, Jesus said to him, this is the last time I will appear to you this way to instruct you. He said, and to lead you and guide you, because obviously if somebody appears to you and gives instructions, that is a way of being led, right? If I showed up and I gave you some instructions, I'm showing up and I'm giving you some exact instructions. So he said to him, this is the last time I'm going to show up and give you instructions this way. He said, from this point on, I am going to lead you the way I lead all of my children by the inward witness. And the way he tells the story up to that point is he was thinking about writing a letter, or he was in the process of writing a letter, because that's what they did back then, to respond to an invitation to this pastor to come and teach or share at his church. And every time he tried to respond, he just said, it just didn't seem right. He would rumple up, he'd just, crush up that letter and throw it in the garbage can. And he said, I just couldn't get myself to do it. It didn't seem right. And so a lot of times we're being led by the Holy Spirit and we don't even realize it. You could say it's unconscious. You're unconscious to the leadings, or you're not perceiving it's him, but you just say, you know what, I need to do this today. I need to pick up the phone and call somebody, or I get an urge to do something. It just seems like I should do something. That's the Holy Spirit. And you could also say it another way, we have peace in our spirit about something. Now, what are the keys to increased sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Let's take a look at Isaiah 26, verse 3 in the New Living Translation. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, and this is the New Living Translation, you will keep him, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So that's what I wanted to point out. When our thoughts are on him, when our soul and our thinking is on him, then we're at peace. I like what the King James says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So sometimes when you might be physically tired or exhausted, you may be less sensitive to his leading because you're more body conscious and you're more soul conscious and you may not be as perceptive or sensitive in your spirit. You may not be as sensitive to those leadings, because your body's not at peace, it's not rested, it's not at peace. So your body is maybe tired or it's exhausted, and you're like, oh, I need to lay down. And you're not as sensitive. Could be that you're not as sensitive to his promptings. So we want to, be more sensitive to him. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is John 14 and verse 27. This is John chapter 14 and verse 27 in the King James. It says, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then what does it say? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What? You have to do this. Let not. That means you have a choice to make. Let not what? Your heart be troubled. Now, this word troubled in the King James Version, it means agitated, it means inward commotion, it means a lack of calmness of mind, it means to be restless, it means to be disquieted, it means you're not at peace. And that's really what Jesus was saying here. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or not, let it not be restless, let it not be, upset and troubled. And because why? When that happens, you don't have peace. And when you don't have peace, you might miss the leadings and nudges and promptings of the Holy Ghost, because he leads us by his peace. When something seems right, really what it's saying is you have peace about something. You have an inner peace that I should do this, not a check or a resistance to something or a troubling in your heart. So the Holy Spirit is a person that can be known. Does he respond to us? Yes. And so the Holy Spirit has feelings. He can be grieved. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. In the King James, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that word grieve means to offend or to sadden or to make sorrowful the Holy Spirit of God. How do we do that? By the way we act, by the way we think. Sometimes just a thought, can grieve the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago when Pastor Clinton was alive and he had the band playing with them. He said this to me one time privately. He said, I was getting something in the spirit to play and some words and some things to sing. And he said, one of the musicians just wanted to play this little riff. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the Spirit of God lifted. It just lifted. He was grieved. And so am I saying that little riff grieved God? What I am saying is, the heart of a person, he knows why somebody did something. And in that moment, it could have grieved the Holy Spirit. So we need to be sensitive to him And when he's leading us, we need to make sure that our thoughts and our actions and what we're doing don't grieve the Holy Spirit or sadden him. Look at the New Living Translation. It makes a little clearer, Ephesians 4:30, in the New Living. It says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." So in other words, the way we live every day can grieve him. What does that mean? He lives inside me, and he can be grieved. And that means what? It can be difficult for me to sense his leadings, maybe when he's grieved, just because of the way I live. I may have done something that grieved him, and my conscience may be upset or troubled. I need to stop instead of keep pursuing and plowing. Maybe it was the way you said something to someone. Maybe it was something you did or didn't do, and he's grieved, and you need to stop and say, "Holy Spirit, what did I do? What do I need to fix here? I sense you're grieved." You know, think about this just in the natural. Anybody who has a friend, or maybe it could be your spouse, I'll guarantee you that in the natural, they will let you know that you have done something to them to upset them, to make them sorrowful. I'll guarantee it. It may be a look, it may be something they say in response to you, or it may be something that you know you said or did something to offend them. That's just in the natural. How much more we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and I can guarantee you that we all know when we've done something that grieved God, grieved his Spirit, and we need to fix it. We need to just say, "You know what? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted on that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have watched that TV program. I shouldn't have read that. I shouldn't have listened to that music." The Holy Ghost will let us know what's right and how to live. That's what I'm saying. In other words, that's what he's saying in the New Living. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So things we do, he just like a child, you know, when you're raising children and you're raising them, you're teaching and training. You're not beating on your children, but you are letting them know, I didn't like that. That's not what we should do, right? You're training them. You're letting them know that's not right. And you're giving them an opportunity to do what? Fix it. Even as a little toddler, you're helping them to let them know this is not the way we conduct ourselves. And so it's the same way with God's Spirit, that we can know his leadings, we can know what pleases him, we can know what makes him sad, just by the way we live, by the way we conduct ourselves. Hallelujah. And so I had one more point here to make. So in other words, we go back, just like it said in Luke, when something seems good and it seems right, then you move in that direction. When it doesn't seem right, put it down. Just leave it alone. You know, it sometimes Reverend Ann Durant shared this a couple of years ago, and it really was helpful. And she said, she was sharing something about being led by the Spirit of God. And she said, "You know, I don't like these conversations, you know," and, you know, her and Kevin have been married for quite a length of time. And she said, I don't like these conversations. You know, as a husband and wife. And she said, I don't like these conversations. We have to talk. She said, I don't like that. I don't like conflict and confrontation. She said, I don't like that. You know, that confrontation, we got to sit down and talk. So she said this, she said, you know, when it comes, you may know you need to talk and to discuss something. And she said, the Spirit of God may reveal something that needs to be discussed. But does that mean you discuss it right then and there? She said, no, you look and wait for the right opportunity to share it. She said, even though you know you need to share something, you wait for the right opportunity to share it. Because she said, when it's the right opportunity, both hearts are open. The one sharing it and the one receiving, said everybody benefits. But if it's shared and it's not the right time, then hearts can be closed, hearts don't receive, and so you don't benefit. There's conflict. And so it's the same thing. God knows well enough. The Holy Ghost is our helper. So he will share things with us at the right time, when our hearts are open, when we're at peace, and we can receive correction and instruction. And so it just, from what I'm sharing here tonight, is there are, the Holy Spirit has a personality, and he will guide us and lead us into all truth. He'll help us, but we need to speak to him, and we need to yield to him. And, you know, leading up to these meetings that we're going to have in a few weeks, the Life in the Spirit Conference, this is really life in the Spirit. Being sensitive to him, yielding to him every day. Does something seem right? And if it doesn't, then we need to find out why. If something seems right, pursue it. And so here we saw some examples where Paul and the company were sending out men to, again, let's go back and look. In verse 25 of Acts 15. And this is saying here, please the apostles and the elders with the whole church. So here in verse 25, it seemed good to us being assembled. Who was it that was assembled? Back in verse 22, it says, and it pleased the apostles and elders and the whole church to send them. So here, it seemed good unto us, the apostles and elders and the whole church. So here, it wasn't just the apostles, and it wasn't just the elders, but the whole church was involved. It seemed good to everyone to send out what? Send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So when decisions are needing to be made, we need to pray in the Holy Ghost so our hearts are more sensitive to his direction. And it needs to seem right. It needs to seem good. And we are not to fear. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and what? A sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at this one scripture here as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, what? Have the mind of Christ. Well, let's look at this in the New Living Translation. It says, but who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We have his mind. We have his thoughts. Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. It says, for who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. That means by his Spirit, he's leading us into all truth. He's leading us so that we can know what his will is. And when we know what his will is, it seems good. Amen. We have peace about things. And if we ever need peace, it's now with all of the anxieties and confusions that are going on. There's people pushing people now to hate Israel. There's people pushing people in directions to hate. And we need to, as no time ever before, that we need to know what his heart is, what his will is. Well, we know what his will is. It's in his word. But then there are times we have to make some choices and decisions in life, and it needs to seem good. And if we don't have peace about something, then we need to leave it alone. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to share the word of God. We thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us by your Spirit into all truth. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you as we close this evening. We thank you that you are leading us. We know you. And we thank you that we hear you and we see you and know you. And you are more real to us than this floor that we stand on, or the chair that we sit in, or the car that we drive in. Father, we thank you that you're real to me. You're real to us individually. And you speak to us, and you reveal your perfect will to us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You know, a scripture comes to mind. I know we prayed and we're finished, but I want to look at just quickly Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. This scripture comes to mind. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 in the Passion Translation. It says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by what? The impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. And then let's look at verse 6. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds what? Life and peace. Look at verse 7. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. What does that mean? They refuse to submit to his impulses, to his inner witness, to those inner knowings. You know, you may say, I know I need to do that, but I'm not going to do that. That's resisting. That's fleshly and carnal, and we need to put that down. So in this season that we're in, the stresses of life and the complexities that are going on, and the devil using people, you know, he will use whoever. You know, Jesus went to the cross and saved every man that ever was, will be, and to come. But does that mean every person will be saved? No, he paid the price, but they have to acknowledge it, ask him to be their Lord, and to believe that he was raised from the dead. So even though the price has been paid, it still is you have to believe and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And you have to believe and confess with your mouth that, it says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You need to confess that. And when you do, you become a brand new person in Christ. So all of these things that are going on in society, we need to stand for the truth, and we need to believe God and be yielded to his Spirit so that we can walk right through all of these and navigate through all of these things that we face in life. And my suggestion is, you know, to tune out and turn off all of the stuff that's going on, because the devil will use those that are yielded to him. He will work through. But that's no different. The Holy Spirit, who lives in us, will work through us if we yield to him. Hallelujah. So if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you've never made that decision or choice, then this is your opportunity. You can do as the scripture says. You can confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And you do what? You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and the scripture says you'll be saved. So if you are in that situation or condition, and you've never asked him to come into your heart, you've never confessed with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, then this is your opportunity. And let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to die for the sins of all mankind. He became sin. And so I believe that he took my sins, and I confess him as Lord. And I believe that he was raised from the dead, and I confess now that I'm asking him to come into my heart, cleanse me, make me brand new, make my spirit brand new, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I now confess that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer, and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you confessed your belief in him, then you became saved, your spirit was made brand new. Now, does that mean that you're still not going to be tempted with fleshly desires and so forth? No, it just means your spirit has been changed, and you need to get into a church where the Word of God is taught so that your soul can be changed and renewed, as the scripture says in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you've done that, let us know, contact us either by email or by mail, or you can call us by phone. Let us know that you accepted Jesus in your heart, and we will send you some free information. God bless you.